On today's episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, we have a jam-packed episode. It is Georgia Hate Week. Of course, I'll review everything that happened during the week that is of note. We're going to preview the UGA game and, of course, the world-famous Tim Cox six-pack of picks for this weekend. All right, here we go. Okay, welcome to episode 3 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, where we will keep everything between 1801 and 2001. I'm your host, Tim Cox, and y'all, let's just say it together. To hell with Georgia, the cesspool of the South. Wow, well that now marks two podcasts in a row in which I have sang, but I don't care. I don't give a damn, because it is Georgia Hate Week, and I fucking hate Georgia. People who don't know me, you know, who didn't go to Carolina, they say, well, Tim, who's your most hated rival? Is it them or would you say it's Clemson? Honestly, it's a tie. It's 1A and 1B. When I was in school, I used to say whoever we're playing at home that year just because I can yell a little bit louder. But Georgia, there's just something about them that really gets me going. And I think it's probably because in the last decade, those matchups, it ended up 5-5. So it feels like every year you're bound to kind of have a close game. Obviously, last year wasn't that way, but it seems like everything is attainable. And man, when I was a student at Carolina, I mean, I was there for the 2012 game when we had game day come on campus, the Ace Sanders punt return. Easily a top three game of anything that I've ever been to, if not the number one game. And then it would have been not the following year, but two after that. So 2014, it was the pouring rain where they had the delayed start because of lightning and there was the missed kick. And oh, I am just fired up for this episode. It's a jam-packed episode. But before we dive too much into the game and the preview, of course, we're going to review this past week. And I have a quick pivot away from football. Our women's golf team won the Annika Intercollegiate Tournament. Great job, ladies. All right. You know, I mean, anytime we can see the garnet and black on top, that's something that should be celebrated. And I'm just going to let y'all know a quick pod note. Whenever I do see exciting news outside of the major sports, I'm going to do my best to let y'all know. But please, don't be afraid to shoot me a DM or a comment if there is something exciting going on, because this is a group effort. It's going to take a village, and we should celebrate each other. But back over to football. The big note outside of this week's game was that the Kentucky game, a.k.a. the SEC home opener for Carolina, it's a night game. Night game at Willie B, always bound to be electric. That honestly should be an amazing atmosphere. And I'm really curious to see how Shane Beamer and company, how they keep the emotions of the team in check. Because, look, no matter how you slice it this weekend, the team is going into that game with a winning record. And as USC, we look to establish ourselves as a program on the rise. That feels like it could be a statement game early in the Shane Beamer tenure. So it'll be fun to see how that plays out. And, you know, it's a nice change to be excited for these night games. Eastern Illinois, the opener, the Kentucky now. And last year, it felt like Carolina, honestly, it felt like we had a ton of night games, which normally is kick-ass. But between the limited capacity and the team just in a downward spiral, it just didn't feel like the juice was there. So this is a much welcomed change. But also this week, football-related, similar to last week, the biggest storyline is the most talked about foot in the Midlands, a.k.a. Luke Doty's foot. And to be honest, y'all, at this point, I'm not really sure who or what to believe. Coach Beamer said this week that at this point last week, so before the ECU game, Luke was sore. Now, mind you, we did not hear any of that. But this week, he does not feel that, which if you ask me, that's a good sign. But then, you know, there's all these reports that from these quote-unquote sources that he's really not good to go. So I really don't know who to believe. But All I know, and I think all the fans, all of us can agree, is you do not want to risk further, and God forbid, a long-term injury if you push him out too early. So if he's not good to go this week, I would like to hear exactly what is going on. And if he needs to be shut down, shut him down. Just say, hey, he needs 2 weeks. He has to rehab. He re-aggravated it. But hopefully that is not the case. But I'm putting the bat signal out there right now. Anybody in the Columbia area or someone who's willing to drive to Columbia who knows Luke Doty, can you bring that man some ice? Can you bring him some Advil, maybe a heating pad or some Icy Hot, whatever it's going to take to get this man right? Because Lord knows he is our QB1. He is our true QB1, and we need him back ASAP, which leads me right into the preview for the game against the hated and loathsome Georgia Bulldogs. So, I mean, where do I even begin with this one? I mean, do I start that with the last time the Gamecocks went to Athens? They were a multiple touchdown underdog and they won. Do I start with it's a program that our current head coach had previously worked at? Do I start that they're just a bitter rival? Or do I start that South Carolina's former head coach, who was fired, is now on staff there? I mean, this is fucking crazy. You could honestly write a soap opera about this damn game, my goodness. But, I mean, there are multiple storylines, and something that I think we have to mention, but I don't want to give too much of the spotlight to, it is the fact that Will Muschamp is now on staff at UGA. And, I mean, look, I mean, it's a little awkward. It's kind of like seeing your ex at a place that you both used to hang out at, but now you're both with other people. Like, do we make eye contact? Should I go say hi? Or do I yell fuck you from afar and then slug a beer? Because that's exactly what I will be doing when they show Muschamp on TV. But I guess, you know, on a more serious note, I don't think there's too much to be worried about as far as him having intel on the team, the players, and whatnot. Look, it's a totally new staff, a totally new scheme. We brought in plenty of transfers, a couple of freshmen. So I really don't think there's much he can offer to these guys at UGA. And I mean, shit, even when he was our own coach and knew everything, he really couldn't offer much. So regardless, it will be funny to see him on that sideline. But we honestly have bigger things to worry about at the end of the day. But, you know, speaking of the game and speaking of Coach Beamer, he said it right, you know, at his press conference. He said it's just a huge challenge, and it's true. But look, just because something is challenging doesn't mean it cannot be done. When I was getting ready for this episode, I was telling myself, all right, Tim, look at this from a professional perspective. Look at this like a normal person. But you know what? No, that's not what I want this podcast to be. I'm a fan. I'm a Carolina Gamecocks fan. You're a fan. We're all fans. And as long as I'm a fan, I'm going to believe that we can win every game. So what are we looking at? Georgia's 2-0 on the year, obviously, with the huge week one win over Clemson. Last week, they rolled over UAB, but, you know, you take that for what it is. And it just kind of feels like the formula with Georgia has stayed pretty consistent over the years. Defensively, they like to control the line of scrimmage, and it feels like they always have some freakishly fast linebacker out there who can just chase anyone down, or you can put them on a tight end and do God knows what. They're going to have a big offensive line, and just as normal, they return a couple of really good running backs, most notably this year, Zamir White, who, when you look at the stats, he's already leading the team by a pretty healthy margin. But the question going into Saturday, who is going to be quarterback? JT Daniels, he was banged up. He was out last week, and a lot of the pundits will tell you that he's the quarterback to finally take Georgia over the hump. But I got to ask, is he really? I mean, maybe it's his wacky middle part hairdo he has, or the fact that I don't think he was that great in Southern Cal. I just feel like the other shoe is going to drop with this kid, and he just might not be all that spectacular. Like, he's fine, but their backup, Stenson Bennett, he played a good chunk of last year. He started the game last week and lit it up. He has experience. He's obviously not the true answer because he was replaced by JT last year. Word is he's banged up a little bit, so who knows? Think of the vibe is that JT, if he can push it, he's going to go. But regardless, it doesn't matter what position you look at. Georgia has depth and experience and playmakers everywhere. But you know what? Enough about the damn dogs. Let's talk about the cocks. Because I am ready to trim those hedges, and I'm going to call 1-800-BEAMER to do it. So what's it going to take to pull off another all-time upset in Athens Saturday night? Well, first off, do whatever we have to do. Pray to whoever we have to pray to make sure that Luke Doty is healthy enough to play. That is a huge, huge factor. But outside of that, I'm looking at this game as if we're putting a puzzle together. So the question is, do we have all of the puzzles in place, the pieces in place, excuse me? And when I look at this team, I look at the depth chart, I think we absolutely do have the pieces in place to hang with Georgia and be right there at the end to give us a chance to win. So on offense, look, there's no secret that our strength is the running back group. Now, I'm going to put aside all the names of the guys and what they have done or what their potential is going to be, because I want to harp on our strength is actually, I think, how dynamic this group can be. We have guys who can run it up the gut, try to break an arm tackle and get loose, but we also have guys, as evidenced last week, that you can run outside, get to a far point, and run up and just flat out beat you in a foot race. And I mean, to this point in the season, we also have not really seen many screen passes, and I think Georgia is going to do the same formula that we've seen from EIU and ECU, and that they're going to stack the box and they're going to try to be aggressive. So if we can take advantage of that a couple of times, maybe even put two running backs back there, run a screen, that could be a momentum-changing play. You got to run them very, very selectively, but I think that that could be a difference maker. But to do that, you got to have a good offensive line. And again, I believe the pieces are there. I just have to believe that they are there. It's a veteran group. We have a veteran coach, and I have to believe that they can fix these communication issues. I mean, Beamer even mentioned it in his press conference, that the hate that the line is getting, it's not fully warranted. He actually mentioned that Zeb, he tried to slide protection to one way or once or twice, and he made a mistake. And that's why you saw those free blitzers coming. So regardless, that all needs to get cleaned up. But if there is a weak point in this Georgia defense, it's going to be in their secondary, which does have a bunch of new faces and a couple of young guys. So I think the theme has to continue to be get Josh Fan going, but we also have to find unique ways to get our other playmakers open. But I was happy to see this. Coach Satterfield, obviously our offense coordinator, he mentioned that so far in the season, the offense has actually operated in a more vanilla mode. They haven't opened up the playbook really. So maybe we see some trick plays or some new looks to get some explosive guys, you know, in space. But I think if you put all of that together, the offense, they can put together some extended drives. They can score when they have to. But again, create nice long drives to keep the defense fresh. Because speaking of that defense, boys, the honeymoon stage is over. We had a perfect buildup of very little competition to then somewhat better competition, but now we are at the elite level. So the question is, how are we going to hold up? My answer, I think decently. Nobody's going to expect the defense to shut out Georgia. But the question is, can they break serve, so to speak, right? Can they get a couple of key stops and keep Georgia out of the end zone in a couple of big spots? And I think we can. I mean, going back to my lovely puzzle analogy, I think we have the pieces on defense to do that. We know that we have some beasts, some dogs on our D-line. So their job is just to mess up whoever it is at quarterback. Just mess with them. Don't necessarily have to get a sack, but disrupt him enough that he's uncomfortable in those passing situations. Get him to roll out. Get him on the ground. Make him a little nervous. But my eye on that line, someone who is going to play more in the middle, who has been emerging as a really good, solid playmaker, someone who I hope to take on a double team or two and create some havoc back there, is my man, Zach Pickens. Now, if Zach can be a force to be reckoned with in the middle, it's going to free up all the guys in that front seven to get after it. But on the flip side, similar to Georgia, if you were to point out a weak spot in our defense, it would be the secondary. But again, looking at the depth chart, I don't think it's actually as poor as we might have thought at the beginning of the season. Cam Smith, obviously, he's the lockdown corner. He has a huge job ahead of him. Georgia, they got a couple of burners at wideout, even after losing their star in practice during the spring. But they also have some tight ends who can run after the catch. So do we play him in straight up man-to-man? Or do we let him just sort of take one side of the field and limit the throws whoever goes to that side? That, I do not know, but that'll be interesting to watch. But other than him, I mean, look, there are guys back there who have played at this level, who have been to Athens, and who frankly just need to step up in this game. guys like R.J. Roderick and Jalen Dickerson come to mind. They've played well to this point. I'm not saying they haven't, but we need our veterans to step up there. And, you know, so far, we have also seen all those guys, right? All the guys in the secondary, they're playing hard. So I'm hoping that they continue to play fast, play loose, and play aggressive. But overall, for this game, it's not going to be easy, right? Georgia is going to have some drives where they might push us around. But on both sides of the ball, Carolina will need to rise up and make some key plays in key moments to keep the momentum trying to push our way. And really, I mean, to keep this game close and have a chance, we're going to have to get lucky here and there, and that's fine. Maybe even make a special teams play, which we've seen happen already. But I have faith that we can keep it close. And look, like I said last week, I'm not going to get into final score predictions, right? I mean, like, really, like, what does that do? They're never right. But here's what I'm hoping for, and here's what I think can happen. I'm hoping that Carolina can keep this game close through hard defense, through extended drives, trying to control the pace of play, if you will, and try to keep it close as it gets deep into that second half. And let's make it a ball game come the fourth quarter, and let's see if we can't hang this one. So it'll be really excited to see. It's going to be an electric game. It's going to be quite the build-up to it being a night game, and I am absolutely, absolutely fired up. And if it happens, it's just going to be unbelievable. And welcome home, South Carolina. But, transitioning away from that now. There are a lot of other games going on this weekend. It's actually a pretty great slate in college football when you look at it. So with that being said, we're going to do my six pack of picks. For those of you who are listening for the first time, your first game preview, I don't mix business with pleasure. I don't bet on Carolina. I have in the past, but I get animated enough already. I get stressed enough already that when I add even $5 into the mix, it's just next level. And I don't need that. And again, the six pack, it's one game from each Power 5 conference. I'm not necessarily picking that team to win, but we're going to look at matchups from each of those. And then one game from the group of five. So turning to the ACC, this is a really not the best slate for the ACC, to be honest with y'all. But I felt like I needed to pick an underdog, and I feel like I'm going to regret this. But I'm going FSU plus 4.5. At Wake Forest. I don't know. I just feel like FSU has to make a stand after what's happened to them. If they don't, their season's going to be a black hole. So this is going to be a last-ditch effort. And, I mean, Wake Forest has just played nobody. So we're going to hope for that one. Big 12. This is a noon game. This will be a good one to be locked into early. Oklahoma versus Nebraska. I'm taking the over at 62. Oklahoma and over, that just feels natural. Nebraska, yeah, they had a really tough go at it in week one, but they seem to have picked it up against albeit lesser competition of late, but I like the over in that one. Going to Big Ten, outside of South Carolina, Georgia, this is kind of the game of the night, right? Penn State versus Auburn, it's Penn State's whiteout. This will be a true test for, I guess, really both those programs. Auburn trying to reestablish itself. They have a new head coach as well. Penn State feels like they've been on the edge of being great, but have always just come short in a big game or two a year. But I just think it's going to be too much for Auburn to get up to Happy Valley. It's going to be a whiteout game. It's going to be absolutely bananas. So I am going to go with Penn State minus 5.5 on that one. And then moving on to the Pac-12, big news out of the Pac-12, Clay Helton out. See ya at Southern Cal. That job, it feels like it should be a premier job. I mean, it feels like that program should just be the big boy, the big dog in that conference, but it just feels like almost like Texas. It just takes a really unique individual to balance all of the expectations and the outside noise and all that jazz. So best of luck to whoever takes it. But the Pac-12, UCLA and Fresno State, that's over 63. Both those offenses have just been electric. I like that over. SEC, this is the 3:30 slate, probably, you know, the most intense matchup of the afternoon. I'm going Alabama minus 4.5 at Florida in the swamp. I was looking at it and I said, I got to get some skin in the game in this one. And I was not about to bet against Nick Saban. You know, I'm going to keep doing that until I'm proven wrong. And then the group of five, little Friday night lights for y'all. UCF That's right, with the Gus Bus, -6.5 at Louisville. It just kind of felt right. I don't know. It's Friday Night Lights. It'll get the weekend going. It should be a fun one. That's the six-pack of picks. Man, that was a fun show. Really, that's all for today. And, oh, follow along on social media for all my antics leading up to the game. On Instagram, I do previews from my balcony, from the sidewalk. Those have been fun. And we do immediate reactions during game, post-game. So it'll be fun. Last but not least, y'all, go Cox. To hell with Georgia. Let's go, boys.